that I saw take 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he fed thousands. I saw him raise somebody from the dead. I knew so much about him, and yet somehow I knew so little about him. This man called Jesus warned us that one day we'd deny him. That one day we'd say we didn't know him. Well, do you know what? My name's Peter and I can put my foot in it any time you like. And I just went, Jesus, no, not me. I'll never deny you. Never. I will always stand by you. I will die for you. And he just looked at me. And he said, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me. No, no, not me. No, not me. But I did. And that's what I want to tell you about tonight. They'd arrested Jesus and they took him away. I skulked in the shadows. I crept behind. I was scared. What were they going to do with my friend? What were you going to do with the one that I saw do so many things? Well, he told us so many things that were to happen. But now, this? It was dark. And they took him for a trial. A mock trial. Hiding in the shadows, trying to keep warm with the fire. And there was a young servant going, said, hey, you were one of them, weren't you? No, not me. Not me. I don't know him. Went hid further back. Out of the way. Suddenly she sees me again. He knows him. He's one of them. And I went, no, not me. Not me, I don't know him. And then it happened again. Oh, and those words that Jesus had said went ringing through my head. Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. I did it again. I denied him. All my bluster, all my shouting, all my, no, I'll never deny you, Lord. Came to nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I went quiet. I went and hid. What do you do when you've told the world that you will stand by him? And then you don't.
Let's share together the words from that passage in the Bible now. We're looking at Mark. It's chapter 14 and we're starting at verse 66. You can find that on page 101. 2:2. Peter disowns Jesus. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus, she said. But he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and went out into the entrance. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around them, this fellow is one of them. Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near to Peter said, Yes, surely you're one of them, for you're a Galilean. He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately, the cock crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the cock crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept.
Thank you. I wonder when you hear a story like that in the Bible, whether you read it at home on your own, something rings true. I've often said, I think my parents knew what they were doing when they called me Peter. See, I can read stories like that and I can hear them and they go right home. They go right home because, oh, I've got all the bravado going. I'll stand for Jesus. Is that what some of you think? Yeah, I'll stand for him, whatever. Do you think it won't take much because I know Jesus, I know what he's done? Or you might look at Peter in the Bible and think, well, what's the matter with him? He'd walked with Jesus, hadn't he? He'd seen those amazing miracles. He'd seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. He'd seen those five loaves and two fishes feed thousands. Surely, after all that, he wouldn't deny him. But he did. I wonder if you, like me, so often have denied him, and yet we believe in everything that he's done and is. And oh, isn't it horrible? Isn't it terrible? You say something or something comes out or you react to something. I've done it again. I've let him down. I was known at work for the one who never swore, who always seemed to be doing the right thing at the right moment, the one who would always get the ear of the bosses and be able to share what actually most people were thinking, and they'd hear me. And I can remember taking a phone call one day, and I absolutely swore down the phone. And I felt terrible. Jesus, what have I done? I've stood for you, I've spoken of you, and now I've just done what I've done. And what do? Do you go and hide in a corner? I was tempted, very tempted, but kind of the damage was done. And I just stood there and I turned to my colleagues and said, I just want to say sorry. There were some strange looks around the room. And it was, but Pete, you were justified. We heard what was going on. We could hear it. They could hear it in the office. They didn't need to be on the end of the phone like I was. And I went, it's not the point. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. You see, you and I can get so caught up with this God that we think we need to be perfect for him. Yeah, we ought to try, but I'm very glad to tell you that you can't do it on your own. I can't do it on my own. And we can be just like Peter. Even if you're not called Peter, you can still be like him. You can still do and say the things that you don't want to do. But deep inside, we long for that transformation that only Jesus can bring by his Spirit. That enable us when we do things wrong to say, I'm sorry. I got it wrong. To be able to say that there's a better way than this. And I know the person who can help me. Oh, it's hard. It means making yourself vulnerable. I was reading about the preacher Charles Spurgeon. who was talking to a cleaner who had recently become a Christian. And Spurgeon asked her what difference it had made having Jesus in her life. She very timidly replied, "Well, sir, I now sweep under the carpet, not just around the carpet." It's a simple thing, but it's change, isn't it? Before, she was just doing a job. And she said, "After all, Jesus is my boss. I do it differently now." Now, I don't want you to think, "Oh, Pete's got it all sewn up," because believe me, my wife will tell you afterwards that I really haven't got it sewn up. I muck up no end of times. I'm testimony to being the blusterous young man who very clearly, when he was having an appraisal in BT days and was told that he was worried about my performance because all I ever did was this Christian stuff and it was getting in the way of my work and I wasn't working properly, and I just blurted out, "I wouldn't worry about it because God's my ultimate boss." I don't think I quite do it like that now. He was absolutely livid. And for about 4 or 5 years, I had the most terrible appraisals every year you could ever imagine. But you know, when you stand and you acknowledge where you've gone wrong, he and I have laughed years later, by the way. He's still not a Christian. But he's apologized to me and I've apologized him to being an absolute idiot. And we've laughed. But the strange thing was, his wife started coming along to our church in St. Albans. And one day, I was leading the service, I was going to be preaching. And I said to his wife, "Would you like to read?" "Oh, I don't know," she said. "I don't know what, I don't stand at the front in people." She went home to talk to her husband. And she said she'd been asked at church to do the reading. And he said, "Who was it who asked you?" And she said, "Pete, I'd do it because he'll look after you." Now, I don't say that to boast. I don't say that to say, "Look at me." But you see, like Peter, we fall. Like Peter, we trip up. Like Peter, we get things terribly, terribly wrong. But with the Spirit of Jesus in us, we can overcome and we can do things differently. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12 says this: "So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Pete, as you're sharing these stories now, don't get complacent. Don't get arrogant, because you might fall. We need to learn to be careful. See, when Will asked me to speak, it was a date that I was given, not the subject. And then I suddenly realised what the subject was, and I thought, thank you. There seems to be no hope in this story. Now, if you're like me, you know what the ending is. It's okay, all right, if you don't know. But to end here just seems so wrong to me that Peter's failed. Peter's more than failed. He's stuffed up well and truly. He's done just what Jesus warned him he would do. He denied him 3 times. Even down to before the cock crows twice. But you see, a little later on, and we'll be hearing it in the next few weeks, Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" I love that story. You know the one where Jesus is on the beach cooking the best barbecue breakfast you've ever, ever seen. Jesus takes Peter aside and asks him if he loves him. Now, he doesn't ask him once. He doesn't ask him twice. He asks him 3 times. Do you know, if I'd have been Peter, I'd have been, "Jesus, I just let you down 3 times. I denied you 3 times, and now 3 times you're asking me again, do you love me?" And Peter comes out with this most amazing statement. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And I was going to ask each one of us here tonight, how do you feel when you hear stories like that? That we've just looked at. How do you feel when you think, do you know what? I muck up so many times. I've let him down. At school. At work. With my neighbours. And I've done everything that I shouldn't have done. And Jesus knows, because, hey, he knew Peter was going to, didn't he? He knows everything. He knows our hearts, and he knows that we love him. See, if Jesus knows everything, it doesn't make it okay when we fall. But I do know that he's there to pick me up. And he's there to pick each one of us up when we fall over. And he stands there with his arms open wide. I love it when our grandsons come to see us. Because almost the first thing they do is wrap their arms around my legs. Well, actually, it's not my legs anymore. They're getting a bit tall. I'm going to be a little Pete next. Well, I know some of you will say I'm little Pete anyway. But they're coming up higher and higher, but they're still wrapping their arms around. They say, hello, Granddad. Love you, Granddad. And I love them back. And sometimes we forget that there's a Jesus who loves you and I that much. Well, that sounds strange. He literally hung on the cross with his arms outstretched for you and for me. And he brings those arms around each one of us and hugs us tight. So when we muck up, I'm going to say something very strange. They didn't give you the hug. Let him hug you tight. And hear him say to you and to me, I love you. Each and every one. But where does that take us tonight? We've heard a story. But the wonderful thing is, it isn't just a story. It happened. My Jesus, my Saviour, walking on this earth, told Peter what was going to happen. And Peter did, went away and stuffed up. And ultimately, Peter could say to Jesus, you know everything. You know that I love you. Let's be quiet for a few minutes. I want us to think, what are the things that we've perhaps mucked up in the last week? And actually it's been weighing on us, and we need to say, I'm sorry to Jesus. We need to feel those arms of love around us. Just saying, it's okay. I love you. Let's start again. Because Jesus is the God of many beginnings. And strangely, he lets me make many, many new beginnings. And he still loves me. At the foot of the cross, I can scarcely take it in that the King of all creation should die there for me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for each one of us Thank you that you are of God, of new beginnings. That you take each one of us as we are. And you show your love to us. Lord, help us as individuals and as a church to receive that love and to share it with others. Thank you, Lord. Amen.